So you go on vacation and weird things start happening around the place that you're staying in. Is it Uncle Larry? Is it Aunt Melvira? You like that name? I just kind of came up with that one. Anyway, weird things are going down. Is it the relatives or is it the ghosts? After a certain point, it's determined it's the ghosts. The story of a haunted vacation home on a recent EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear it, sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Your support keeps our show on the air. It's only $5 a month, and we thank you very much for that support. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a grandfather seems to still have influence after his death. A listener swears there's something paranormal going on in her in-law's home. Villagers have to come to accept the lonely old lady spirit that wanders its country roads, and a listener follows her gut and saves her boyfriend's life in the process. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You've non-pumpkin spiced your beverage. You've anti-pumpkin spiced.
I've moved on to peppermint.
You've moved on to the next season.
Yes, I have.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, you can only do so much pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
It's exciting for a while. You know, it's like, oh, the thing is, it's become like such a year-round flavor almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get, it used to be like kind of a treat, like, oh, it's coming. And I suppose it's Starbucks that's true, where they only do offer it somewhat seasonally. But anywhere you go in the store, you can still find like pumpkin spice, you know, at least one pumpkin spice item per aisle.
Yeah.
Year-round, no matter what it may be. Whether it be pumpkin spice chips. We've seen those.
Uh-huh.
Of course, there's a pumpkin spice coffee from other brands as well. There's probably also pumpkin spice detergent as well.
No.
Not yet?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I'm not positive on that, but I bet.
I wonder.
Not.
You know, of everything that's, because there's a lot of real funky, you know, scents for detergent. I'm just going to do a little Amazon search. Pumpkin spice. Does it exist? Does it exist? Yes or no? Is no your final answer?
No, I'm going to go with yes, because I can tell by looking at you it does.
No, I nothing's coming up.
Really?
Nothing is coming up for detergent. So there you go.
Okay.
No pumpkin spice detergent. And that's it for today's episode of Real Ghost Stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Of course, you can also write into the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get those experiences and those stories to us so we can share them here on the show. We'll kick off the show today. Our first letter coming in to us from Sammy. And Sammy writes, "Hey guys, this is my first time writing to the show since I am a new listener. I never really had a paranormal encounter until recently, but I've been fascinated all my life. I'm writing because I need help. My grandpa passed on August 30th of 2015. He and I were very close, and his death still upsets me. I feel blessed because not too many people get to have their grandparents in their lives for 22 years like me. He passed in his nursing home with friends and my nana, so he wasn't alone. My father was staying with his mother for when his father passed, and after he died, four separate incidents occurred. The first happened to my dad the day after he died. My nana and him jumped into the funeral mode and went to go buy him a new white shirt for his funeral. My father hates taking pins out of shirts, so he went to the garage, opened the door, and had a smoke, even with his mom bugging him about the shirt. He yelled down the stairs if he could please get that done, and he said he would, but then whispered to himself, 'You do it.' All of a sudden, he heard a horrible crash and ran to the outside of the garage and saw a trash can lid facing up perfectly on the ground, like someone picked it up and a terracotta pot shattered on the ground. The can's lid is a perfect fit. It is one of those old metal cans, and the pot has been sitting on that can for over 20 years undisturbed. Safe to say my dad bolted up those stairs to help his mom. My dad never believed till that happened. He thinks it was my grandpa telling him to stop being lazy and to help his mother. The other two times were 2 days before, when my dad, mom, and brother and I went to say goodbye. I was inconsolable when I saw him lying in that bed unconscious, so I ran out of the room to go cry in private. My mother, on the other hand, was sitting in the room and felt a hand petting her head as if to say it's going to be okay. After my mom and her brother found out he died, they went to go see my dad and Nana. We were sitting in the breakfast nook and everyone was talking. I was sitting by his rocker, not paying attention to the conversation, and the chair started to move, then it slowly stopped rocking. No one noticed this besides me, but I didn't feel any fear. I knew he was sitting there listening too. Now here it is, and this is the reason why I've decided to write to you. This past Sunday, my family went to my grandparents' house to help my Nana with some housework. I was downstairs looking through pictures, and my mom at the time was taking down the curtains so they could be washed. Well, from all the way downstairs, I could hear Kathy. This is my mom's name. I froze because it was his voice. Clear as day. It was his voice. In the end, when he was unable to do things, he would sit and watch others do them while either telling them what to do or to give directions. Personally, I wonder if that was happening upstairs. I ran up to see if anyone else noticed the voice, and no one did. I'm thinking he's visiting his house a lot, or the thing I'm afraid of, and that he's stuck there. I'm scared to tell my mama because she's very old-school Catholic. What should I do? Anyway, Tony and Jenna, love the show. It's kept me sane through my keyboarding class. Hope you read this on the show. That'd be awesome. I'm sorry it's so long and all over the place. I tried to type it out best I could.
Okay. And this is just my opinion, but I think since you're the only one that is being affected by hearing and seeing anything, mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily tell anybody else because it might just be more upsetting to them.
Sure.
But I would go ahead and, you know, if you truly believe it's your grandfather, ask him to please stop if you want him to stop. Otherwise, if it doesn't bother you, I would just see how it goes. But if you want it to stop, if you're worried that he's staying here for some reason, you know, you might even say he needs to stop. It's okay. Go ahead. Uh-huh. Go on into the light and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Because if it is, in fact, your grandpa, a lot of times they'll very much respect that it's causing some fear mm-hmm. and confusion, and they wouldn't want that because that's probably not the intent. You have to ask yourself, you know, what is the benefit of bringing this up to his mom? What is the benefit of putting that out there? Especially if he kind of already knows where that's going to go, if he knows it's not going to be an accepted thing, especially if the mom has not experienced anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any benefit to that other than just his own getting it off his chest to his mom?
Yeah.
And could that just end up causing some friction and anxiety and issues between him and his mom
mm-hmm.
if that is brought up? So I agree. I mean, unless the mom, if mom ever brings up, have you ever experienced anything strange? Chances are mom has experienced something strange if she's the one bringing up the topic.
Right.
Then I think it's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
Then okay, then share what's been going on with you. But if you already feel like it's not going to really be of any benefit to her, it may not be something to bring up. Because if it's strong enough and he really wants her to be able to see him or hear him or communicate somehow, I think the ghost will make that happen.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing your story. We really do appreciate that. That's funny at the beginning part where it's like he was frustrated because he wasn't listening to his mom and he goes and throws something or breaks something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, okay, that got my attention. That is humorous. Amanda writes into us. Hi, my name's Amanda. I live in Rochester, Minnesota. When I was in high school, I didn't get along with my mom very well for typical teenage girl reasons. Spent a lot of time in our newly finished basement and ended up sleeping down there on a couch for a while just to get some space of my own and could stay up as late as I wanted, either watching TV or playing on the computer. For a while, once I would lie down to go to sleep, I'd hear footsteps on the carpeting I'd half sit up and look towards where the footsteps were coming from, but couldn't see anyone. They'd stop. I'd lie back down, and after a few minutes, I'd hear the footsteps again, but would try to ignore them. One night, the TV turned on by itself, and even though it scared me, I convinced myself I'd hit a reverse sleep timer or something that made it turn on instead of something paranormal. The most frightening incident happened one night in the middle of winter. I was on the computer listening to music with headphones on. The door to my brother's room was behind me, and all of a sudden it slammed shut with so much force that my parents heard it two stories up. Like I said, this was the middle of winter, so there were no windows open, and my brother was away at college, so it was just me down there. I flew up the stairs to tell my parents what had happened, which is when they told me they'd heard it too. I stopped sleeping on the couch and didn't go into the basement much after that. I'd always gotten a nervous feeling down there, but contributed to just being the feeling you get in most basements. I think what happened was a mixture of the new renovation, my going through both teenage years and troubles with my mom stirred something up. We built the house ourselves, so there were no previous owners. Also seen a few orbs at night, one of which literally was bouncing in front of my face, as if to say, "See me? See me?" Other than that, things have calmed down, and I haven't had any other experiences in that house, but will write in with other experiences later. Love the show.
It could just be a passing through spirit.
Sure.
And for whatever reason, they just like to stop there, because it sounds like it's different, the orb and the whatever's closing doors and...
I agree.
The noises.
So. And I think it probably also ties into the whole, the energy. We hear a lot of stories like that when it's, you know, somewhat documented where teen girls, especially when going, you know, through puberty and stuff and going through the teenage years, for whatever reason, there seems to be spikes sometimes in poltergeist, which that would be with the slamming of the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that that is literally like a natural occurrence where it's some sort of magnetic wave thing or something non-ghostly, if you will? Or is it something where there is something ghostly involved and it's being attracted to that atmosphere at that time?
That I don't know, because, you know, when you're going through that time, you're just never happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you're always moody, and it's just not a pleasant time to go through, let alone be the parent of a child going through that stage. So I could see it being something drawn towards the negative feelings, kind of like when people are having trouble with depression.
Sure.
And how they sometimes end up having things being attracted to them. But I also kind of think of like a kinetic energy type thing could be another possibility, with the whole you get mad and all of a sudden doors start slamming and you're not really slamming them.
Yeah, I've always kind of wondered about that. Like, is it really a ghostly thing when that sort of thing is happening in that specific setting?
I could see it honestly being either.
Both, yeah. In some cases, yes, and in some cases, no.
Mm-hmm.
Really depending on the case itself. And probably in some cases, a combination of the two.
Right.
Mixing together. Good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Our number again, 855-853-4802. And of course, if you enjoy this show, maybe you're a new listener who discovered us over the Halloween months, thank you. Welcome to the show. Be sure to press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to. And as you're probably aware, this is a show that's mainly supported by our listeners, and that's through our Extra Podcast Person program, our EPPs. If you want to keep the thing on the air, it's only $5 a month. Throw that into the kitty. It helps us keep this show going. It covers those hard costs we have of distributing the show and the bandwidth and all that other fun stuff. I could go on a laundry list of things, but I won't. I'll just say it costs money. So please, if you like this thing, please help us keep this thing going and become an EPP. Get all those bonus episodes as well. You can sign up for that on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Jade writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Thanks for reading my story about reincarnation earlier this year. Really enjoy listening to your perspective on it. So I've got another story for you. Got quite a lot of stories to tell, but I wanted to tell you about what happened to me in my husband's parents' house, because these experiences really frightened me. My husband Matthew and I live in Yorkshire, where I'm from, but he's originally from Oldham in Manchester, and his parents still live there. His parents' house is an old Gregorian house, and I've never liked it since I set foot in it. Don't get me wrong. The house itself is lovely, but I've had bad vibes from it. It's really quite big, and I've always felt that something was lurking around. Anyway, one day, my husband, who was my fiancé at the time, and his parents were at work. I was a student at university at this point, and it was my day off, so I was home alone in the house. I came out of my husband's bedroom and turned right to go into the bathroom. The wall that was facing me was all mirrored, and as I pulled the light switch, I saw someone behind me through the mirror. It was a man. He was quite tall, with a bald head. I was so startled that I spun around, frightened to death that there was an intruder in the house, but I found nobody there. My heart was racing, and I flew down the large staircase and out of the house and into the garden. I sat there for 6 hours in the rain until someone came home. When my husband eventually found me in the garden, I couldn't believe I'd been there all that time. I told him that there was no way I was going back into that house on my own. Another time, my husband and I were in the house together, and sometimes we played tricks on each other to frighten one another. It usually involved things like jumping out at each other from behind doors and things like that. The house has two living rooms, one at the front of the house and one at the back. The one at the front of the house never gets used, but this particular day, I decided to watch TV in the front room. This room has a really big bay window, and the TV is just next to it, set at an angle. I was laid on the sofa opposite the TV. The door to the room was next to me on my left, and it was open, so the actual door blocked my view of the door frame. Suddenly, I heard footsteps approach the door. It was quite a sunny day, and the door frame was reflected in the TV screen. Through the reflection, I could see a tall shadow inside the door frame. I thought it was Matthew, and I thought that he was going to jump out and scare me. I made a little laugh to myself, thinking he was going to be disappointed when he jumped out, and I didn't flinch because I already knew he was there. I waited a minute, and nothing happened. I'd taken my eye off the reflection of the doorframe and thought it odd that he hadn't tried to scare me yet. When I looked at the reflection again, nobody was there. I started to panic because although I had originally heard footsteps approaching, I hadn't heard any footsteps retreating. I got off the sofa and went into the hallway, and I shouted, "Ha ha, very funny. You tried to scare me and it didn't work." I heard a door click upstairs and Matthew's head popped around the top of the staircase, and he said, "What's going on?" I've been in the shower. To my shock, his hair was wet. He had a towel wrapped around him. And I felt sick. Who is the man in the doorframe? The thing I find odd is that I have only ever seen the spirit through reflections. First in the mirror and then in the reflection of the TV. Love to hear your thoughts on this. I've seen spirits before with my naked eye, but never through reflections. I decided to give the spirit a name. Call him Trevor now and say hello and goodbye to him, and I haven't seen him since. Funnily enough, my husband's parents have never had any odd experiences despite living in the house for 30 plus years, but my husband's brother, who is 11 years older than my husband, said that some odd things would happen when my husband was a baby. Thanks for reading my story. Greetings from England, Jade.
Do you think there's some spirits that can only be seen through reflection like that?
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a frequency thing.
A frequency thing? Like not seeing the spirit more often?
Like the way that it's able to be seen is having to do with like its reverberation in the atmosphere.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like a time frequency. Like
no.
How often she was encountering the spirit.
Sure,
by
sure.
It being at her in-laws, obviously probably not as often as you would think.
Sure. No, I mean more on the level of literally like radio type frequency
wavelengths.
Or vibrations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that has something to do with people being able to see things or get things through certain devices. Mm-hmm. Where we can't just get them out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of a better term. Just with our own ears, you know, especially like with EVPs, for example, or something like that. I think a mirror is kind of like that almost. It's another way of projecting itself that it's not projecting it into just the air, an apparition. It's using a device, or as crude as it is, a mirror, to make itself known.
That makes sense.
So that's my guess.
I like that.
I don't know how accurate it is, but hey, that's what we do on this show. 855-853-4802. What do you think?
No, I think that makes sense once you brought up us not being able to hear EVPs, but we had to have a device to hear them.
Yeah.
This is just a visual device.
Yeah.
So that, to me, makes sense. I agree with you.
You know, it's kind of funny because half the time I don't know what I think about these things until the question is brought up. And I just kind of come up with an answer of like, I'm just kind of connecting the pieces as I go. Mm-hmm. And it's stuff that I've never like really thought about in all that much depth. But then every once in a while, there's a question. It's like, well, you know, based on this and this. And sometimes the opinion will change.
Yeah.
You know, you may ask me that same question 2-3 years from now. I may have a completely different answer based on how our stories go and what we hear and the evidence that we've, you know, get.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those, you know, those theories and, you know, guesses, if you will, certainly change. So that's kind of the neat part about this.
It is.
855-853-4802. Anna Lul, Luel, L-U-L-E, Lul, Lul. I don't know. Name that last name. I'm going to go Lully. I don't know. I'm sorry, Anna. And she's probably like, no, it's this. It's this. She's screaming at her radio right now. But sorry.
You have to put in there in parentheses rhymes with and then some other word that we obviously won't screw up.
Exactly. Treat me like I'm 5. And that then I can really figure it out much better. Continuing on, I was about 7 years old and was sleeping in the living room in an apartment in the north side of Chicago back in the late 80s. A feeling of someone watching me suddenly came up on me, and I woke up and sat on the couch I was sleeping on. The room was pretty dark, but a small glimpse of light came from the closet light nearby. I noticed that from where I was sitting, I was able to see an extremely dark figure, almost like a cutout of a man with a fedora and trench coat, sitting at the kitchen table. I immediately felt scared and started calling for my parents, who slept in the room by the kitchen. The more I tried to call for them, the more I became paralyzed. I could not speak. Miraculously, my dad was able to hear me and came over to where I was sitting. I hugged him quickly and told him that the man in the kitchen was looking at me. He looked and saw nothing. As I continued to point at the black figure, I remember hugging me with all my strength. He finally picked me up and took me over to the kitchen, where he turned the lights on and showed me that nothing was there. I barely had the courage to look over to where this figure was sitting. Sure enough, when he turned the lights on, nothing was there. But when the lights came off again, the apparition was there. He then took me to their room, and I remember falling asleep immediately. Years later, he admitted to me that he was terrified himself when the incident occurred. In that same apartment, I was slapped in the face while I slept, and once, while cleaning the top of the refrigerator, I was handing the things from the top to my brother, who was standing next to me. I was standing on a chair, and suddenly, when I turned the hand to hand him the next item, he was gone. And in his place was a white rabbit the size of him. I was about 8 and he was about 6. I could not believe my eyes, so I jumped off the chair I was standing on and ran to get my mom. Of course, she did not believe me because there stood my brother, who had no idea why I was freaking out. I know it sounds like a crazy story, but I had many incidents after that.
That, I think, is just enough. You know, I mean, a monster or any kind of zombie-looking scary ghost thing is going to be scary to anybody, but I think the giant rabbit is just enough to scare a kid, you know?
It's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because the brother was there.
Yeah.
Like, the brother didn't disappear or walk away. He was standing there still. I think some of that story, there were paranormal things going on. I think he had a carbon monoxide leak with the white rabbit.
Think so?
When things get like that,
they
take a different turn and a different feel than most of our ghost stories that we get. And every once in a while, there's one like that where it's like, yeah, I think there might be something else at play here.
Okay.
Other than paranormal. And I could be completely wrong, but a lot of times, and this is just how I feel, when items or objects or people or entities are seen that are more suited to be something out of Alice in Wonderland than necessarily, you know, Night of the Living Dead or, you know, some sort of ghosty movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes that sort of stuff leans more towards there's something going on. I don't believe in this case with the person on any sort of substance, but I think essentially it's, you know, if you're inhaling gas, it's the equivalency to being on a substance. You become on a substance at that point and eventually will kill you if you don't get out of it. Or it's a slow enough leak. So I think sometimes that is what happens.
Okay.
Could be wrong, but I just kind of got the feeling with weird things like that, rabbits appearing, and I'm trying to think of some other examples from previous stories where it's just been like, yeah, that just seems like some sort of weird thing that you'd conjure up in your imagination, and for whatever reason, you're visibly seeing it and believing you are visibly seeing this, but there's something that's influencing your mind enough to believe that it's there.
We've had some where, like, physical parts of a structure are moving.
Yeah.
Like windows.
Yeah.
Going around a room and things like that. Not just, you know, looking through a window and seeing a different time.
Sure.
Because we've seen that, you know, we've heard of that as well. But things that are just, you know, very much Alice in Wonderland, like you said.
Yeah, and I'm, it's rare that I'm jumping on the carbon monoxide bandwagon, but sometimes it's just kind of like, yeah, I think that might be what that is. And it's impossible to go back and verify because it's been so long and it's a childhood home.
Is that a gas that rises?
I don't know the answer to that. I believe it is. I don't know. We have a detector downstairs because it tends to come out of furnaces and such and things mm-hmm. of that nature.
No, the reason I ask is because when that happened in the story, she uh-huh. was standing on a chair up high getting
oh.
something off of on top of the fridge.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So I didn't know if possibly that's a gas that rises.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I'm sure 50 people will, though.
Let us know. We want to know.
Yeah. Marlin writes in, I just want to start off by saying that I'm Swedish, and this took place in Sweden.
I think it's Malin.
Malin? Oh,
yeah.
You're right. Malin. There was a Malin in my family.
Really?
And Norwegian.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a Malin. It was, I believe, one of my grandma, who was Norwegian, one of her sister's husbands. And I don't know if Malin was a Swede or a Norwegian. Could very well have been, you know, either.
Okay.
It's a name you don't hear very often.
No, I like it, though.
When I see something like this, like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of interesting names in that family. Lots of them. It's not my own experience, but my now late grandfather. So my grandfather was driving home after proposing to my grandmother at her job, retirement home. This was in the 60s in a very rural part of the country. The home was located virtually in the middle of nowhere and in a forest. This may seem a bit weird, but there are a lot of forests here, and it's not all uncommon for people to be living there. Anyway, he was driving down this road that went through the forest. There are no other cars, since this is, again, a rural part of the country. And suddenly, as he noticed a figure walking on the roadside up ahead, as he got closer, he could see that the figure was, in fact, an old woman, hunched over, and very slowly making her way down the road. She had a scarf wrapped around her head in altogether old-fashioned clothing, something you'd see in photos of Swedish farmers and the like from the early 20th century. Since my grandfather was coming from the retirement home and this woman was heading the same way, he figured she was probably a resident in the home who had wandered off and was now lost or disoriented. He figured he'd offer her a ride back, and so he drove up next to her, lowered the car window, and asked if she needed any help. The woman stopped and turned towards him. For the first time, he saw her from the front. The woman had no face. No facial features whatsoever. Just a black mass where the face should be. That's what my grandfather basically thought, nope, and got the hell out of there. The thing about this woman is he's not the only one who's seen her. In fact, she's been spotted quite often over the years, both by people who live in the area and by outsiders who just happen to be traveling on that same road. I think she's believed to be the ghost or spirit of an old lady who lived on her own in a small cabin in the woods a long time ago. At least according to local hearsay. I've never seen her myself since the road is not used much nowadays, but my grandfather was adamant that he really did see her, since this was far from the only time he saw ghosts or other paranormal stuff. I believe him.
I would too, especially if it's a kind of a common known entity around that town.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder, you know, somebody's got to know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the older people, maybe. I don't know.
There's very similar stories like that in different parts of the world where it's a a woman walking along the side of some sort of a farmstead. There's one where it's you know, walking by rice paddies. There's one, obviously, a farmstead here. Mm-hmm. And in different agricultural settings of different parts of the world. Insert wherever you're going to insert, and there's usually a story very similar to this, which doesn't lead me to think that this is like an urban legend or something, but it leads me to think that it's probably a common thing.
Yeah.
A common occurrence to see an entity going down the road. You have this all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But especially if Grandpa doesn't tell many ghost stories, but that's one that, you know, he swears happened, I believe him too.
Yeah.
Gosh. What are our grandkids going to say about Grandpa and his ghost stories? My grandpa, he's got like an archive, and he makes me listen to them. It's like literally if you stacked it up, I'd have to listen for 10 years nonstop to hear all of his ghost stories.
I would hope that our grandkids someday would think we were kind of cool, maybe a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I hope they can enjoy this. And if you're listening, little ones or adults or whatever you are at the age of listening to this, hi.
In like 2050.
Yeah, in 2050. How are you doing? How are things going? Do you have the PlayStation 47 now, or what? what exactly are they up to? You got the Nintendos? Yeah. So, are you still using the interwebs? No, we call it the internet. So, I don't know what they're calling it then, but there you go. So anyhow, Carrie writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm a longtime listener and thought it was time I submitted my story. Grew up in a small country town in Connecticut. Frequently made the 1.5 mile walk to and from school, always taking the same route. It was my sophomore year on a warm fall afternoon. Being a typical teenager in the early 2000s, I always had my Discman with me, headphones on and blaring. It was my usual route down a back road lined with trees and bushes with only a few houses. On this afternoon, a horrible smell caught my attention. The stench worsened as I walked. Eventually, I found the source. A large orange cat, dead, lay curled up in some brush. I never smelled death before. It made me sick to my stomach. I covered my mouth and turned my back to the rotting cat. That's when I noticed an old rundown shack across the street. I never noticed a shack before and stared at it, puzzled, for a few minutes. It was clearly abandoned. Old, weathered gray boards hung from the walls. The glass from the windows broke long ago. The lawn in front of the shack was dug up with the tire tracks and a few rundown cars on either side. After a few minutes, I continued home and gave it no more than an afterthought that night. The next morning, I remembered the stretch of dead cat. I prepared to cover my face when I got close, but when I got there, there was no smell and the cat was gone. I was relieved that some animal must have dragged it off overnight. I turned to look at the strange shack, but there was nothing there. I was extremely confused. I was on the same stretch of road. I walked up and down the road, but it was gone. The area where I'd seen it was overgrown with brush and large trees. I spent several weeks walking on every road in town looking for that shack. Thought maybe I'd accidentally walked on a different road, but I never found it. My entire perception of reality was forever changed by this experience, leaving me with so many unanswerable questions. I don't know if the dead cat had anything to do with it, but if it was not for that horrible smell, I may have never noticed the shack. Not sure what I saw, but it almost feels like I saw something I wasn't supposed to. Thanks for listening to my story, and keep up the great work. Carrie.
I was going to think that Carrie was going to say, and then I realized it wasn't the cat. The smell was coming from the shack. And that would have been awful. But
an army of zombie cats came out.
What is it with these rural, I have a hard time saying that.
Rural?
Yeah. These buildings out in the country,
yeah,
that randomly appear and then disappear. Because we have stories like that all the time.
A lot of homesteads out there. Lots of, you know, families that came and went. Lots of tragedy, lots of loss of life. You know, you think these are homesteads.
Mm-hmm.
So people, lots of them not making it either.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think there's a lot of energy that is in these places. And I think, you know, probably a lot of people buried there too, probably unmarked.
Mm.
And I think that they can be hotbeds for, I don't know if it's the intent of the spirits to let people see what was there, so it's not forgotten, or whatever the case may be. But I think when you have a old homestead with the generations that may have gone through it. And I think you have energy.
Sure.
And especially if it's something that's been forgotten over time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were passionate about your home and, it's a lot of passion there, probably built by hand.
Right.
By a lot of these people. So everything was there, made by them. And if, you know, eventually it falls into disrepair and generations are gone and don't know where or when these things were even here and existed, I could see some spirits wanting to just go, hey, look, mm-hmm. this was here. We were here. That'd be my take on it.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid going through the woods in somewhat near town, over by where my first house was until I was three. My cousins lived next door, and my aunt and uncle still live there. And there's a little woods that goes off past their home near the creek. And me and my cousins would go in there and play sometimes in that forest or woods or whatever you call it. And there was like some sort of weird shack back there.
Really?
And I don't know what that one was. I believe it was habited by someone. Because if I remember right, and this is just me trying to pull up a site that I saw when I was eight. Mm-hmm. I do believe like the shack had like smoke coming out of a little chimney, if you will. And it was back there. We never really explored it much. We just kind of stayed away because we're kind of scared of who might be living in the little shack out in the middle of the woods back there. I mean, it really theoretically not too far from a main road. Probably had a driveway. It was probably just a shitty, decrepit house mm-hmm. in the woods is all that really was. But creepy when you're a kid wandering through it when most of the houses are right up there by the road.
That is really creepy.
There was another area of that woods that I had nightmares about. And there's an old boathouse back there, which I actually have a piece of it in the office here somewhere.
Oh, that piece of wood that you had over the door frame?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there, it's still above the door frame over there. And it's just there. It's not like a anything like some sort of spell. I'm going to put the piece of wood over the door frame. but when I was a kid, there was an old boathouse over this creek that led out to Lake Winnebago in the city where I grew up. And it was very much falling apart at that time. It's gone now for the most part, but it was actually still structurally there, but caved in. And I remember being a little kid wandering around those woods. I know Mom let me go and wander around the woods when I was a little kid. She'd probably say, no, she did it now, but I vividly remember doing these things. That was a creepy, creepy structure because the boathouse had like some stuff in it. There had been like chairs and stuff. Eventually, they all kind of fell into the water when the floor gave out. But there was that structure that was literally just overgrown in the woods. And then there was these metal, what do you call the metal chairs that you like? The old retro ones that have come back into style again.
Oh, they're just patio furniture.
Yeah, so the old metal patio furniture, really. Mm-hmm. One of the big red metal patio furniture sitting out in the woods by itself. This existed, mm-hmm. this red chair, and it was, you know, rusting away, just overgrown. And somebody set it there, and maybe they had a fire there. I don't know, but it was just in the middle of the woods that I wandered around when I was really little. And then I had the nightmare of wandering around those woods, and I don't know, it's probably three or four. And the goblin that was sitting on the chair was a character from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It was the character called Lady Elaine. And she was that witch-looking character that lived in this, like, rotating, like, merry-go-round house.
Uh-huh.
She was scary-looking. And for whatever reason in my nightmare, I'm in the woods, and I get to that chair, and there she is in all of her spooky glory.
Wow. Are you sure you didn't have a carbon monoxide leak
in my house? You never know. It was an old house. Stephanie writes in, sorry. Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Stephanie from Pittsburgh, and I've been listening to your show on Stitcher for a few months now. I've not led a haunted life, but according to my mother and grandma, who are both mediums, when I was growing up, I was quite sensitive. I apparently took to my friends well until one day when I was five. I saw something that scared the hell out of me. Did my best to block it out from that point on. But those are stories for another day. What I need your opinion on is an occurrence that happened when I was in my early 20s that confuses me to this day. I'd just given up my job and an apartment to take care of my grandfather full time. One evening, my boyfriend was over. We were downstairs watching a movie, and I walked through my bedroom to get to my bathroom. My grandfather's bedroom was directly above mine. Anyway, as I was washing my hands, I got a dreadful feeling that I needed to run out of my bedroom immediately. As I was coming out the door, my boyfriend was coming in. I pushed him into the hallway and yelled at him to run into the living room. That very second, a bullet came through my ceiling and went into the wall of the bathroom and stopped there. I couldn't believe what just transpired. Ran upstairs to check on my grandpa. Unknown to me, he still had one of his old guns and regularly cleaned it. He still had a bullet in the chamber and accidentally pulled the trigger. Thank God he was shaken but unharmed. I took the gun, calmed him down, and put him to bed. Would have been shot if I would have been coming out of the bathroom at the moment he shot the gun through my ceiling. And that haunts me to this day. I never gave him the gun back, and I am now the legal owner, as it sits locked up in a safe in my closet. What I don't understand is the feeling I got right before the incident occurred. Was it a sixth sense, something paranormal, or was someone looking out for me? I've been in traumatic situations before and never had that feeling, but none were life-threatening. One little fact, my grandmother passed away in that very house, but I had never met her growing up. My family was estranged for some time. Nobody's ever felt her presence in the house either. I lived there for years without any ghostly encounters. Sorry for rambling, but I'd be grateful to hear your thoughts. I love the show and would love to hear you guys read my story. Keep up the good work.
I kind of think maybe the grandmother's looking out for her.
Okay.
And somehow gave her that feeling that she needed to get out of the way.
Yeah.
But it could just be an intuition thing.
Or it could be some other sort of guardian spirit. Maybe not even the grandmother. It could just be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times we, our guardian spirits or whatever, are essentially our intuition.
Yeah.
You know, or really, I mean, they actually are an entity of some sort, but we just write some of these things off as intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't, it's not coming to us with a sign or a tweet or a text or literally whispering it in our ears.
Right.
It's just, I got a feeling, and I don't know why I have this feeling. This is coming out of nowhere, but I should do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is sometimes what it is.
Could be. So,
thank you for sharing that story with us. Our number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, my name's Mia from Northern California. My story isn't super crazy or anything, but I just wanted to share it because it's about a toy that was around like 9 or 10 years ago, and people will probably still remember it, or girls will if they ever had one. But when I was probably like 8 years old, I had a doll. It was an expensive doll. It was like $100, I remember, to get it, or it may just be a little more than that. But it was this doll, and it was called Amazing Allison, and it would talk to you like a lot. Like, you could play games with it. You could have like these little conversations with it. It was supposed to be like a doll that was like your friend. And it would like know your name, I think, or it'd call you like girlfriend or something like that. And it would just talk when you would talk to it. And you'd be like, hey, Allison. She'd be like, what up? And she'd start talking to you. And I played with it for a little bit. And then I probably stopped, just like every other doll that I ever had. But my mom actually reminded me of this, that when I would go to bed, she'd like put me to bed and she'd say goodnight and everything, and then she would leave, and then my doll would start talking like at nighttime all of the time, and it would just be like, hey, are you there? Or it would be like, hey, want to play? Like, really, like, creepy things, the things that she would say. But she would always do it right after my mom would put me to bed. The doll would be like, hi, are you there? Like, do you want to play? Or what are you doing? And I didn't think it was weird, but my mom would think it was weird because she would always come in because, you know, I was, like, up playing with my toys. And I would just be, like, laying in bed with all the lights off, and it would just be my doll talking. And then my mom, like, looked into it because she thought it was, like, the weirdest thing ever. And there was, like, all these reviews online, and they would say things that, like, the doll would talk to, like, there's one that said she would put it in, like, a crib with all her other stuffed animals, and it would start saying mean things to her stuffed animals, and I just thought it was a weird doll. Kind of a weird story. My mom reminded me of it. If anyone remembers Amazing, I think they got discontinued. I'm not sure why. But yeah, You guys have a great show. Thank you for listening. Bye.
They got discontinued because they discovered that someone in the factory was... I'm kidding. I'm making this.
You were really sounding pretty serious.
Wasn't I?
You were doing good. I don't remember that doll.
No?
No, but that would have been after I had long stopped playing with toys.
Well, you played with your Polly Potty till what? You were...
Polly Potty? What the hell is that?
Polly Potty?
No.
I remember that. It was something like that. I believe it was called Polly Potty. It was, I remember seeing it advertised on Saturday morning cartoons, and I just thought, this is the grossest possible toy a child could ever have. And it made me really like wonder about the girls in my class who were like asking for one for Christmas.
Okay.
It's like, why would you want a... Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want this? And I believe it actually leaked.
Oh.
And it wasn't just like, ooh, you know, take me potty. It was like, it actually, you know, if I remember. I mean, I don't know. I'm basing this off of the ad that I saw as a kid. But it was one of those odd little toys. I think I've seen it at an antique store, too. And I went, oh, my God, I think I remember that.
I don't remember that either.
That was our generation. Polly Potty.
I never was a big baby doll girl. No.
Remember the Cabbage Patch? Not. There were boy Cabbage Patch. Were there for boys?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were for boys. I mean, there were Cabbage Patch dolls that were boys.
Okay.
And I had one of those. Yes. Yeah.
Remember there was My Buddy and Me?
And Kid Sister. Yeah.
Kid Sister and Me. And that's how the ad went. It was like 15 seconds of My Buddy, and they were driving around like a Big Wheels or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I think, like, Kid Sister was like a tea party or something. I don't remember.
No, Kid Sister was just like My Buddy. It was just...
Were they also going around in a Big Wheel?
They did something like that.
In the ad? It was
I don't know.
Teddy Ruxpin is what I always wanted. Never got one.
Oh, I had one.
Those are funny because you can put any sort of cassette tape you want into it, and it can be singing Slayer if you want it to.
It got to where it freaked me out so much I ripped its bottom jaw off.
Oh, so you did like a Walking Dead on your Teddy Ruxpin?
I ripped its jaw off, and it still moved, and it was just bad. So it lived in the closet. It didn't come out anymore.
It freaked me out so much that I ripped its bottom jaw off. Can I just tweet that right now?
No.
Jenny Brewski says...
You always threaten to say my random stuff on social media.
I can guarantee that will get retweeted.
Okay.
By someone.
Fine.
I got so mad at it. I ripped its butt. That's good. I like that. I finally got I didn't really get one. My dad, because he, you know, he's out on his own as far as during the day with what he does for his job. And he'll like stop at antique stores sometimes and whatever, you know, flea markets, whoever, something of interest, and just kind of wander around for a few minutes. Someplace, I believe it was like a flea market or an antique store, he found the Teddy Ruxpin display from a Toys R Us. Like the whole unit, like with Teddy Ruxpin and all the other characters. And it's in their attic. I don't know. It's probably worth something, but I don't know.
Yeah.
He's like, I finally got to the Teddy Ruxpin. Unfortunately, this event occurred when I was about 28.
Oh.
So it, I wasn't as excited as I would have been had this event occurred. Oh, I don't know, roughly about, 22 years prior.
Sure.
It's the thought that counts, though.
Mm-hmm.
It is the thought that counts. Hi.
Hi, guys. My name is Rachel. I have a couple of quick stories. When I was growing up, I lived in New Mexico, and we lived in about a 40-year-old house, and... one day, I was the first one home from school, and no one else was home, not my parents or any of my siblings. I started to go into my sister's bedroom at the end of the hall, and she had a card table set up in there. She used to do puzzles and different things. And for some reason, I just stopped at the doorway, and suddenly, for lack of a better term, the card table began to jump off of the floor. First, it was only about an inch, and every time it would slam down, it would go up higher and higher, and I was just stood frozen in fear. And I remember it was probably about 5 inches from the ceiling by the time I actually ran downstairs. I remember I was so terrified that I would not even go up to the restroom until I absolutely had to go to bed. I was so scared. Another time, shortly thereafter, I had an experience where I woke up and my bed was shaking. And those were the only two episodes like that in my house. I was the only one that experienced them. They say that poltergeist activity often, you know, surrounds like teenage girls or almost teenage girls. So maybe I was the living agent. The other story happened several years ago. I'm now in my 50s. And I was asleep, and I heard my mother calling my name. Well, I don't live with my mother. And the light from the kitchen was on, and so I had a little bit of natural or artificial light. I sat up on one of my shoulders in bed and looked towards the door, and my mother was standing there. She was transparent, but I recognized the clothes that she had on, and she didn't say anything. I just sort of blinked, and suddenly all I could see was her head, and then she was gone. And I looked at the clock. It was 4 a.m., and I thought, gee, maybe she came to say goodbye. Maybe she died or something. But I decided against it and went back to sleep, and I called her the next morning around 10 o'clock. She was fine. So I don't know if that was astral projection. I don't know what that was about, but it was very strange. But anyway, I thought I'd share those two quick stories with you, and I hope I hear them on the show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I don't know that I could have waited till the next morning to call.
Yeah, with something like that, I don't think I would get any sleep.
Uh-uh. But maybe it was just an astral projection type situation.
Sure. Hey, Mom, why are you calling me this late? Just want to make sure you're not dead. Okay, you're alive. Good night. That might be an awkward conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But we get stories like that.
Yeah.
Where the living seem to sometimes project themselves into another area, another person's life. It's, I don't know what it is. Astral projection is what we call it. What is it? I don't know. Our phone number, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, we ask if you enjoy the show, please help us do this thing and keep it on the air. You can support by becoming an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. Sign up for a full year if you want, or sign up month by month. It's only $5 a month. If you sign up for a full year, you get 1 month free. So check that out. Sign up realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP and help us keep this thing a-going. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.